bow our heads in prayer. Open in prayer using part of Psalm 66. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Lord, we are on the earth this morning and we bow to you. We sing praise to you, the praise of your name. May you send your spirit now to open our minds to understand your living word in Luke 8. Then send us out to proclaim your name, all to the glory of your name. Amen. The passage we'll be looking at today is Luke 8 as we continue this series on the Gospel of Luke. We're a few weeks in now, and the passage today is Luke 8, that amazing story about the demon-possessed man, and that is on page 1474 if you're following along in your church Bible. And if you want to follow along later, if you happen to nod off during the sermon, it's not the first time. You can always listen to it, usually within the week, on the website. And you can listen to past ones as well. The other day, I was in that unhappy place, the dentist office, and I was waiting to be seen, and I noticed an article in one of the magazines. And the article was called, Does Your Soul Need Therapy? Those things always catch my eye, so I picked it up, I read it, and actually borrowed it from the dentist office because I wanted to read it closely. It was an interesting story about an addicted, suicidal man who'd hit rock bottom and then found healing and purpose. It was a happy ending, which was great. The man found peace and purpose through what he described as inner strength, also what we would probably call New Age spirituality. Not a Christian spirituality, but a New Age thing based on astrology and things like that. And it was great to hear that he'd come back from the brink of thinking of killing himself. But on the other hand, it points to that modern trend, that trend to look for meaning for ourselves inside ourselves or in every other place except in the Word of God. That's a modern trend. And that's been going on for millennia, really. It's an age-old desire to find that inner power to make your life better. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to have a better life? Of course we do. But that desire to find inner healing and peace by myself, inside myself, is a desire that does something terrible. It actually pushes God the Creator off to the side, and it pushes Jesus Christ away. And this modern trend, part of it seems to be based in fear. And it seems to be fear of giving power to God, power over your life. And you fear it because you don't know this God. You certainly don't trust that God. You don't trust the institution of the church. You don't trust clergy. And you don't trust the kind of historic teaching of the church. It sounds too much like a loss of power and a loss of control. It doesn't sound free. Naturally, many modern people run from that because we modern people want control of our lives. We want control. We understand this really well, I think, because we are people living in luxury. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us, don't have to worry about where the next meal's coming from or, you know, will we have a roof over our head tonight? So we have time to obsess over ourselves and that insatiable desire for power and control over me. And it seems, looking at our culture, we want to control everything. We want to control birth. We want to control death. Certainly in BC, that's a big thing nowadays. We also now want to control gender and identity. I'm not commenting on those things right now, but that is what we see, don't we? That's the tension in the human heart to have control over everything and not to want to give control to God because you don't trust how he's going to use his power. And we see this way back in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve wanting to push God aside and wanting to claim power for themselves. Since that moment they did that, humanity has naturally distrusted God. We need God's grace to come, to turn us, and to let us see the salvation we find in Jesus. One of the truly important things to know and believe as a follower of Jesus is that you don't choose him. You don't choose him. He chose you. He's chosen you. Or if you're not yet a Christian, by God's grace, he will choose you. I really hope he does. In Luke 8, we come up against this whole issue of the power of God and the grace of God and how Jesus uses power. As we dive into Luke 8 here for a few minutes, consider how Jesus used his power. And think later about what that means for you today as one of his followers. I'd like to say two things about Jesus and the power of God. First of all, Jesus used his power to heal. Secondly, he used his power to bless. So healing and blessing. Sounds great, doesn't it? Well, there are some challenges along the way. First of all, Jesus used his power to heal. This is a terrifying story on one level. This story reminds me of that movie from the 70s, The Exorcist. Feels a lot like that. Terrifying movie. We see Mr. Legion here tortured by a gang of demons. He's homeless, he's naked, and his life is so death-like that he's even living in the graveyard. There's no hope in this graveyard. There's no resurrection. There's only death and there's decay living among the tombs. His neighbors try to help him. They try to control him, chain him up. He escapes and he goes back into the tombs. Honestly, we can't imagine what that would be like. We can't imagine a life of torture and agony like that. Mr. Legion is almost like a zombie, you know, driven by this insatiable desire for death. He's separated. He's separated from God, and also notice that he's separated from basic human warmth. He has no home. He has no love and no tenderness, completely cut off physically and spiritually. He has no power to save himself. That's a crucial point in the story. He couldn't save himself. The latest spiritual fad, that wasn't going to do anything. It wouldn't touch his misery. Mindfulness training or yoga, whatever the spiritual fad is, it wasn't going to touch him and give him peace. Now, a modern person might look at him and say, well, look, I'm nowhere near him. I'm only slightly depressed or anxious. I'm able to find healing through my spiritual practice or by, you know, maybe getting in touch with myself or going for a hike in nature or adding a few more prayers to my day. Luke 8 paints a radical picture here of a radical truth. The truth is this, that God has the power. We never tap into this power by ourselves. God actually extends his power into our lives. God doesn't do this because we're good or because we're worthy. He does it by grace, because he's chosen us and he loves us. Notice here in Luke 8, verse 27, Mr. Legion doesn't find Jesus. Jesus finds him. Verse 27 says, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Jesus chose that spot to get out of that boat. If he kept going to the next town, Mr. Legion presumably would have been left to suffer. By grace, Jesus met him, and Jesus confronted the demons in his life. Why did Jesus do this? Well, he did it to reveal his power and his authority. It's power and authority over the things that tear our lives apart, things like death and things like decay. As the King of the Kingdom, Jesus is revealing himself and also giving us a glimpse of what life in the future kingdom is going to be like. It'll be a place where there is no suffering like this. It'll be gone forever. No more possession, no more misery and pain. Notice how easily Jesus commands the demons. The demons recognize Jesus right away. They say, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. And then Luke says in verse 31, they beg Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go, not to go into the abyss. They were admitting there that who has the power? God has the power. The King, King Jesus, has the power. We have this amazing picture of these once powerful demons begging for mercy. That's the power of God. What was their choice? Well, Jesus gave them a choice. It was to go into animals who apparently don't swim. I'd never thought of that before. Can pigs swim? Well, we know they can't fly. We know now they can't swim either. And that also tells us that demons are not very bright. This whole story points again to one of the underlying themes of Scripture, which is this. God calls his people. He draws them to himself by grace. He uses his power to heal, to call, to judge, and to restore. And this applies to us because even though we're not like Mr. Legion in this dramatic sense, it leads us to the truth that if God hadn't acted in our lives, we would be in the same position as Mr. Legion. We are born apart from God. Our hearts and minds are naturally darkened until the Lord comes by His grace and reveals Christ to us and gives us the gift of faith. We can't earn this new life. We don't deserve this new life, and we'll never find it on our own. That language of not earning, not deserving, and not being worthy, that is challenging language to the modern person. You actually should feel challenged by that, unless you're in the place where you completely accept everything, which I'm sure most of us aren't in that place. But ask yourself, in our communion service, when we come to what we call the prayer of humble access, do you ever feel challenged by it or offended? We'll say it together just before we take bread and wine from the Lord's table. See how those words impact you. Even as Christians, there's a small part of us that says, I am worthy. God does owe me one. I deserve this because I'm led or I'm leading a good life. God's word paints a very different picture. It's a picture you won't accept until the Holy Spirit brings you to new birth in Christ. You can try all the spiritual tricks in the book, the latest fad or the latest book or the latest teaching from the latest guru, but until the Spirit comes and opens blind eyes, we can't see the truth, we can't accept it, we don't even want it. Mr. Legion had no ability to come to Jesus. He had no ability to turn. Jesus came to him. God didn't owe Mr. Legion anything. Mr. Legion is the product of a fallen creation, a fallen world where sin and death turn human life upside down and inside out. It tests us and challenges us in incredible ways, ways that many of us are living at this time. Now, your life doesn't look like that man's. But again, until Christ comes and calls you, you're not so different. That may shock you and offend you. You may say, I'm not at all like Mr. Legion. But the consistent story of God's word in the whole of Scripture in the Bible is that we need to be called, and God gives us that gift of faith. Thankfully, God's grace and power are on full display here in Luke 8. We see what this means and how it is unpacked in a real person's life. In your life as a Christian, if you're ever tempted to fear God's power and how He uses it, remember in Luke 8 how Jesus used His power on earth. He uses it to restore this man, to bring him back into human community. When we say the confession together in our service, we are joining this man in saying, Lord, we need you. We're suffering. We're in pain. Would you please come and heal us again? Jesus uses His power to heal. Second thing, He uses His power to bless. And we see this in Mr. Legion's hometown near the Lake of Galilee. At first glance, this passage in Luke 8 seems to be all about the possessed man. He gets the headline billing here, but the people of the town were involved too in a big way. They heard the story. They ran out to the scene. They were curious. They were shocked. They wanted to hear what had happened and see for themselves. They got there, and they found this man they knew, Mr. Legion, sitting, clothed, restored, and as Luke says, in his right mind. Then Luke drops a bombshell in verse 35. He says, they were afraid. They were afraid. Verse 37, Luke drives the point home even more. Verse 37 says, then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. They're absolutely terrified of what was going on. They were scared of the power of God. Even though they'd witnessed this man they knew being healed and restored, they were absolutely terrified. Listen to one of the saddest verses you'll ever read, verse 37. After this amazing healing and restoration, this work of grace and mercy, it says, they asked him to leave, so Jesus got into the boat and left. That verse should break our heart. The king comes near, and the people of the town ask him to go away because they're scared of his power. If only the people of that town had been like Peter when he was in the boat. There was a miraculous catch of fish, and he said, Lord, please go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I can't be in your presence. If only the people of the town had been like Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 6, when the Lord revealed himself in the temple, and Isaiah said, I'm ruined. I'm an unclean man, and I'm in the presence of the Holy King, the Lord Almighty. Unfortunately, the people of the town don't show any sign of humility or holy fear of being in God's presence. They were just scared of God's power. They didn't understand it. Even the proof of the restoration of their friend, that didn't change their minds. They just wanted Jesus to leave, presumably so they could go back to their daily lives and continue to live in comfort and peace. We can understand this. I'm sure that watching something like that happen would be dramatic and pretty scary on one level. But ask yourself, if someone you knew was delivered in that way, say a friend of yours is suffering terrible terminal cancer, they all of a sudden get up and they're miraculously healed, would you immediately say, "Get away from me, Lord, go away, I'm scared, I want to go anywhere else but here with you"? That is tragic. That's the choice of wanting to live in the graveyard instead of wanting to live in the light of the Lord Jesus. In my experience, it's usually the people who are the most comfortable who have the hardest shield around their heart when it comes to Christ. Just the other day, I met with a person who has had a fair amount of trouble in life. This person has very little comfort and very little material wealth. But this person isn't bitter. This person isn't angry. And after we talked and prayed together for an hour, I felt I'd been in the presence of one of the richest people I've ever been with. It was amazing. This person talked about the deep and lasting love of Christ. They talked about wanting to serve others in the name of Christ. And they're doing this as I know that they don't have stable housing. They don't yet have a job. That's the grace of God working in a person's heart. A person's heart that's turned to Christ. And that's the power of God moving and working. I went away blessed. I felt so spiritually impoverished, but blessed by being in the presence of a person rich in Christ. That's not what we see in the townspeople. Before we think that God gave up on them, listen to verses 38 and 39. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Can you imagine a better witness and a better testimony in that town? Can you imagine that? This man was a living signpost. Every day when the people of that town went to the post office, or they walked their dog, or they went to the bank or the market, they would see this man and they'd be reminded of what God had done. Not only that, but he was telling everybody what God had done. What a gift to that town. That's another way Jesus uses his power. He uses his power to change real lives, like yours. He doesn't then send you on the evangelistic circuit to go across Canada, whipping up the crowd. No, he actually puts you in place in your neighborhood. In your neighborhood, where you rub shoulders with your friends, and they see the power of God working in you. That's the grace of God. I hope you know that even today, when people hear the good news of Christ, and they see the good news of Christ in a person's life, the Spirit works by power. The Spirit works to convict, to heal, and to bless. Just as we wrap up here, a question: how will Luke 8 trickle down into your life today and in the days to come? I hope it does at least one thing to you. I hope that this word in Luke 8 fills you with confidence. Confidence. But not confidence in yourself. Please don't put confidence in yourself. Please don't put confidence in me. Put confidence in the power of the gospel. That's the life-changing power of God revealed. We know we live at a time when secular forces are alive and well and very powerful. They're trying to push the good news of Christ off to the margins. We know this. We know this. Let's not react in anger. Let's not be frustrated. Let's not worry too much about that. Leave that in God's hands. Let's do what we can do. What we can do today is to listen to this word of God in Luke 8 and be transformed by it, be encouraged by it, be renewed in your confidence. Confidence that God has chosen you to go out like Mr. Legion. When you came to Christ, do you realize that you were healed in the same way he was? You were set free. You weren't possessed like he was. But in a sense, we all are. We all were. Before you come to Christ, you're naturally separated from God. He works a miracle in you, bringing you to new birth. It's a new creation. You're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now He keeps us in place to go and to be confident in the power of the gospel wherever we are, wherever we live. That's good news. So I hope you trust His power. And I hope you go out today in the power of the Holy Spirit to serve and to bless in your own way. Also today, as we come to the Lord's table to be fed with gospel medicine, remember how Jesus used His power. Yes, He called the demons. He dismissed the demons. He healed. He raised the dead. Maybe this is the message our culture needs to hear. Jesus set aside His power. He has all the power. He willingly set it aside and went to the cross in weakness. But then He was raised in power and glory. Now He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. My friends, be renewed in your confidence in the gospel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we ask today that You would give us even a glimpse of Your mighty power, the power You use to heal and to bless. Amen.